Well, okay. All the children's church workers and the kids in children's church are released. I'm going to switch over to the
Well, you guys may have noticed the table up here. And what I have underneath this, wasn't this looking so nice? That's Jeanette. You can always tell when it's just very practical, that's me. When it looks pretty and organized, that's Jeanette. So I've got cups out here. You guys, I think most of us know that I ordered these cups a little bit ago, and I've handed a few out, but I'm very mindful that most people have not gotten their cups. These cups are pretty simple. They have the church name and church logo on each side. And so I ordered enough for each family to have one. And if you have adult kids here that also go, then I would count that as one family and you're a family. So if you haven't received one of these, would you just come on up? I'd love to give you one now. And if you're visiting here today, by all means, come on up and grab a cup. Hey, come on up. Any other families that go here, just come on up. No, we don't have any order. This is family here. Just come on up and grab one. There you go. Yep. There you go. You bet. Yep. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, that's it too. Race for the coffee. Anyone else need one? You wondering? Maybe you want one? Just raise your hand. I'll bring it to you. How's that? Anyone? Okay, there we go. I see that hand. You know, a preacher always likes to see a hand raised, even if he has to give out cups to do it. Yep. Okay. Well, that was good. One of the reasons I got this, so that all of us have a something that has the church logo on it, we have at home. If you notice, these are a pretty quality cup. I didn't want to just get a cheap cup that ends up in the next garage sale that you have. Have you ever been to the garage sale? It has like six or seven logo cups. It's like that. I really didn't want to do that. I know I could have got cheaper cups, but that's not where I wanted them to be buried at. And so I got something that I thought all of us would actually be nice enough to use. But then we can also keep it out around our house or have it at work on your work table or a break table or something. So it's a conversation starter. You know, people that you work with might not even know that you actually go to a church that you love. And so they'll see this thing and go, oh, who gave you that? You'll be able to say, oh, my church gave me that. Well, what'd they give that to you for? They just want us all to have a cup, I guess. When I go and visit people, visitors are here, as soon as I get their contact information, you may hear me use the phrase, if you give me your contact information, I'll bring you a free gift. Ta-da! This is the free gift. And so I didn't want something, first off, I didn't want to give you guys something so cheap that it goes out in a garage sale. But I also didn't want to show up and give them a coffee cup that's so cheap that as soon as I leave, they go, what is this piece of junk? Why are they giving this? That's the last thing I wanted here. So I want you guys to have something that you're proud of, that you can drink out of at work. And I also want to have something that I can be proud of. So when I knock on a perfect stranger's door and I hand them this thing, I'm proud of it. And I'm glad to give that to them. So I think that's the story of the cups. Okay? All right. That was pretty plain and simple. I'm just going to sit these over here. I see you. You can't help yourself. Yeah, could you help me? Oh, no, I just want to get these out of the way. I'm going to put something else here. That Paul is such a servant's heart that he couldn't help himself. He's seen someone that needed help. He jumped to action. Look at this stack of books. I want to make sure somebody wasn't taking a shot at me. Yeah, that's true. I could give more stuff away. Okay. So there you go. Here's a stack of books. This is going to be the illustration in just a little bit. So if you have your Bible with you, could you turn with me to John chapter 14? If you're visiting here today and this is your first time and you'd like to have a little bit more information on what's going on, I just encourage you to look at the inside of the bulletins. We have a simple instruction for our visitors. We're just asking you that if you'd like to be more connected or just get some more answers answered, or even if you just want some prayer, if you could text the word welcome, so all you have to do, just that one word, text that to 616-208-2880. And it'll just give you some spots where you can give some more information. Then I'll contact you and we can go from there. I'll answer whatever questions you have or try to meet the needs that you have. So, again, just text the word connect to 208-2880. So, I think we're all at John 14, verse 6, which says, this is quoting Jesus. Jesus stood up and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, this is the last great I am statement that Jesus made. We've already covered six of them, and this isn't in any chronological or importance organization type thing. It's just we've gone through them in different times. So the first one was Jesus said, I am the bread of life. The second one was, I am the light of the world. He also said, I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine, and I saved this one for last. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this is really amazing because Jesus said this about himself. He also said in 6:44, you don't have to turn to this one, but he said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and he's the only way to the Father. And the only way that you can come to the Father through Jesus is if the Father draws you, which sounds kind of complicated until you actually think about how this works. Because all of us come to Father God through faith in Jesus Christ. We get that faith by spiritual power. It's real spiritual power. You can't intellectually figure out that Jesus is Lord. You just can't do it. I can't sit down with a Bible, with paper and ink pen, and teach anyone that Jesus is Lord. I can teach about Jesus, but the reality where you know that Jesus really was who he said he was, for you to believe that, that comes from a spiritual gift from heaven. God has to illuminate your spirit, the Holy Spirit's power in you, to show you that Jesus really is who he said he was. That takes something supernatural. And so today I want to start out there thinking, I want to get all of us thinking, because as I recognize just about every face here. And to my understanding, I think everyone here is born again Christian. And so that gives me great freedom to go, okay, so all of us have heard the Holy Spirit and stirred faith in us. All of us have recognized God and we've responded in faith, even if it's at that first level, that Jesus is Lord. He really is. Who he said he was, and that's what my faith is going to be built on. That's what my life is built on. Amen? So everything we go on from now on is built on that one revelation, that we're all born again because we believe Jesus is who he said he was. So Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Do you know that he said it in that order? He's the way to God. He's telling the truth, and he's the life. To give us an idea in that one statement, that through faith in the Son of God, we can have a brand new everything. A brand new everything. Church is like the very beginning of what was on Jesus' heart. At best, this hour and a half on Sunday morning is just practice. At best, it's just practice. If it even registers on the Richter scale of kingdom living, right? I mean, as I'm looking around right now, there's people yawning, people still waking up. I'm thinking, okay, you should have got up for an extra hour of coffee. We turned the clocks back. You had an extra hour. Maybe you had a long night. Maybe you had a rough week. I just want to encourage you right now. We've only got like this much time in this one church service to have God affect us so that we can live kingdom for the rest of the week. It's big. I mean, at home, any show you miss, you can DVR that sucker and watch it the next day or whatever. But church, this is our one chance to get filled with the Holy Spirit, to get touched with faith, to get encouraged, and to take that kingdom life out there for the other 167 hours this week. Hour and a half of church, 167 more hours in every week. So Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And he did that so that we would live this life that he has for us. When I ask people what salvation means to them, most people would tell me that it means church service or it means godly living. When God said, you can have salvation through my son, you know what was on his heart? I would say it comes down to two words, freedom and wholeness. That's how I define salvation. I talk to many people, say, oh, well, I'm saved. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to read my Bible. I don't need to do this, that, and the other thing. I say, well, how are you saved then? Well, I have faith in Christ. Okay, you're saved. So are you living salvation? Well, you can't judge me. I didn't say, can I judge you? You judge you. Would you define your life by freedom and wholeness? Are you growing in freedom and wholeness? Because that's what God's heart is for you. He wants you to be growing in fullness, wholeness, freedom. That's the truth. That's what salvation is. So today as I talk about some of this stuff, I'm hoping that all of us will catch something today that will help us in being more free and more whole. Amen? I still got you with me? Okay. John 14:6. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except for through me. Jesus said this about himself. So either he was a crazy man who thought he was the Son of God and wasn't, or he was a liar who claimed to be the Son of Man and knew he wasn't, or he really was who he said he was. He was the Son of God, and he proclaimed it. I think, as I already said, all of us here, born-again Christians, we believe he was who he said he was. Peter says this in Acts 4:12, and again, think wholeness and freedom. Wholeness and freedom. Peter preached the first sermon in Acts chapter 2, and the church, I mean, basically explodes. It goes from 12 apostles to thousands of people. One church service, first church service. Then they leave church, and they go start living kingdom outside. And they come up to the temple, like 2 days later, which was a popular place to beg, because you know that church people are good givers, right? So if you're going to beg, outside of church is a great place to beg. I don't know why people beg at 44th Street and Wilson. Scripturally, they went and begged at the temple, so they could beg at church. I guess we're all glad that they don't, huh? In any case, in Acts 4, verse 12, Peter and John are going up to pray at the temple, and they run into this beggar. The reason he's begging is because he's a cripple. That's what the Bible says. He's been crippled since birth. So here's a grown man that's never walked in his life, and Peter says quite simply, look, I don't have any silver or gold, but what I do have, I'll give you freedom. Freely. Get up in the name of Jesus Christ and walk. And the guy hops up and starts running around and dancing, which imagine being 30-some years old and being healed, being made whole, being set free. This guy runs around, and Peter just says, the crowd starts going, what in the world? How are you doing this? Why is this happening? Peter just says, hey, look, this is through Jesus Christ, and there is no salvation in any other name. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That's what Peter said. First time he went out into the community after preaching the gospel that birthed the church, first time after that, this guy gets healed, freedom, wholeness. He says, look, this is all through the name of Jesus. This is salvation when someone gets set free and gets healed. The way of Jesus is one of change, of life and miracles. And, you know, I'm not going to put anybody in the spot. I'd love to put a few people on the spot right now in a good sense of the word. Because God has been active here in our body, in our family. He has done some amazing things. There's people here right now, sitting right next to some of you, that have been healed supernaturally in the last couple weeks. There's people here sitting right next to you right now that were that close to suicide this last week, and God saved them. There's people right here, right now, right next to you that have had miracles, signs and wonders done in their normal everyday life. And they're sitting right next to you right now. They have those stories to tell. I'm not going to say, hey, you stand up. I know what, I won't put you on the spot like that, but I want to encourage you. If you know God has done something amazing, would you please share it? Because some people are barely making it. They barely made it into church today. And when you tell them about the good that God did to you, guess what? Their faith goes, oh, you didn't do that for Pastor Mike. You did it for you. You're a regular person like me. Would you pray for me? Because that's what I'm struggling with too. God did that for you? Pray for me, would you please? That's why our testimonies are so powerful. That's why I ask for testimonies from up here. It's not just so that we can get up and talk in front of people. That's like not even part of it. We want to give testimonies so we can give God the credit and the glory for what he's done for us. But we also want to help the people around us so their faith can just get that one notch up that might just be the faith they need to get a life change from God today. Testimonies are really important. So Jesus says, look, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. This is the way that you can get whole, delivered, protected. It's a life of salvation. Church is just the very beginning. Jesus didn't say, go and make church members. Right? We all know the famous verse, Matthew 28. He says, go and make disciples. To be discipled, you have to see somebody doing it, then you have to do it. And then you go back to the person that you saw doing it. You say, well, what do you think of my results? That's what Jesus did with the apostles, right? He said, go out and do A, B, and C. And the apostles went out. They did A, B, and C. They came back and said, hey, Lord, guess what? We did this. We did that. And then Jesus would say, that's great, but do this. That's great. Keep doing this. That's great. Now add this to it. So salvation is freedom. It's wholeness, but it's doing too. There's a lifestyle of doing salvation. This is one of the quotes that I wrote down. Is just a simple sentence, but I think it has a ton of truth in it. Listen to this. One description of discipleship is, learn from the best, become better than you are, and teach someone else what you're learning. Learn from the best, become better than you are, and teach someone else what you're learning. The apostles did it. The apostles went to Jesus. They learned from Jesus. They went out, did the best they could, and then they trained other people that were coming to the Lord. So they're seeing, they're doing, and they're teaching. How about you? Where are you at? Where are you at with discipleship? Have you even recognized anyone in the church or in your life that you want to learn from? Have you gotten that far? Do you even want to learn? Maybe not. I don't know. I go to church good enough. I got a life to live. Or are you like, no, I've identified, I'm working hard on this thing. Last year I learned in this, and I'm growing in this. I've gotten way better than that. Now this year I'm going to focus on this area because I want to lay hold of all Christ laid hold of me for. It's more than just church. There's 167 more hours that I want to see God move in me and move through me. I want to see signs and wonders and miracles in my life and in the people around me and in you guys. That's my heart's desire. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for through me. We're going to get to the truth now. I love this sentence because of the middle of it. And I think maybe it's, for me, like my two of the big things that I've invested my life into, they merged together. And one of those is being a Marine, and one of those is being a pastor. And so a Marine likes things straight and orderly, and this is absolutely the right way. We're willing to lay our lives down for it. Pastors like things straight and orderly, and they're willing to lay their lives down for the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. There's no other way to the Father except for by me. Do we believe that as Christians? Because if you travel in the circles that I travel in at all, if you're watching any of the same shows or see any of the commercials or the movies and stuff, there's a big push right now that there's a God, and you can call him anything you want. Jehovah and Allah are the same God. Buddha and Allah and Jehovah, all the same God. Doesn't matter what you call them. Long as you're a reasonably good person and you have some kind of faith, it's all good. There's a God out there. Can I just tell you that that's a lie? Anyone saying that stuff is lying. They may be doing it sincerely out of ignorance. They may think that that is true to them. It's still a lie. When you believe a lie and tell it, it's still a lie. Just because you believe it, don't make it right. Right? You can be sincerely wrong. You're still wrong. You're sincere, but you're sincerely wrong. Jesus said, He is the only way to the Father. By the way, He called God His Father. So if you want to cut to the chase to find out if you're actually worshiping the real God, or if they're trying to bring you and encourage you in the real God, just ask them quite simply, does this God have a son named Jesus? If we're going to believe the Bible, because that's what the Bible teaches, there's only one way to the Father, and that Father's identified by His son Jesus. Allah never had no son named Jesus. Buddha never had no Jesus. All the other gods, all of them, none of them ever had a Jesus. If you want to keep your finger there, John 14:6, and put your bulletin there, your finger, and turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. This is way back there towards the end of the Bible, because this is an amazing passage that dovetails with 14:6. Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except for through me." Now we're going to take a look at what the Apostle John said. In 1 John chapter 5, we're going to go to verse 10. Go to the book of Revelations and then just back up a couple pages. You'll be there. First John chapter 5, verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself, which is what that's where we started. The Holy Spirit in us has convinced us. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us: eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. So if there was any misunderstanding when Jesus said, "No one comes to the Father except for through me," 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 13 make it perfectly clear. He literally says, if you don't believe there's salvation through Jesus to the Father, you're calling God a liar. That's literally what he says. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he's not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. So when they're saying that Allah and Jehovah are the same, or that Buddha and God are interchangeable, can I just tell you there's only one true God? That's the Father of Jesus Christ. He is the true God. Heavenly Father, God Almighty, His plan for salvation for us was to send His Son. God the Father sent God, Jesus, His Son, to save us. If they're worshiping any other God, listen to me very clearly. If they're worshiping any other God besides the Father of Jesus, they're worshiping a demon. They are literally worshiping a false God. And there's no gray area in gods. There's the God who's Father of Jesus, our Savior, and there's all the other gods that are demons. If they're not worshiping this God, then they're worshiping a devil, a demon. I don't mean to step on any toes. I'm just telling you the Bible. And as your pastor, I want you to be as safe as I can possibly make you in my strength. Jesus said, I am the only way to the Father. If you come through me, you can get to the Father. John says, if you don't believe that God sent his son Jesus, then you're calling him a liar. Because God the Father said he did. Wow. So Jesus is the way. He's the only way. Jesus is the truth. So he said he's the truth. If you believe anything besides salvation in Jesus, you believe in a lie. That's what the Bible says. So now let's look at this last part. Jesus is the life. So any of you, any people here like any of the superhero movies? Anybody happen to see like Endgame, Infinity War? Awesome. I'm going to close with an illustration out of that, okay? So that hopefully I can keep you interested a little bit. So the Father uses the Holy Spirit to convince us of our need for him, convinces us that there is a God, there's a good God, and convicts us of our track record. It's not so much that he like invents our track record, because I personally can think back before I was saved, I was a stone-cold alcoholic atheist, and I know that I kind of carried around my track record all the time. You know what I mean? It's like I would wake up in the morning with a guilty conscience. I didn't go to church. I didn't know anything out of the Bible. But I knew that a lot of the stuff that I did made me a really mean, bad person. I'll bet all of us have that. Then we get born again, right? All of our sins are forgiven. We put on this new life. And the devil tries to lie to us and go, hold on a second. You haven't really changed. You're still that same loser. You're still that person not going to amount to anything. You're still, blah, 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 blah. You'll always be this and you'll never be that. Blah, 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 blah. Shut up. Right? That's what we need to say. We need to shut up. I'm a new creation because I know the only way. That's Jesus. I believe the truth. That's Jesus. And now I'm living the life that Jesus brought to me. And no one's going to steal that from me. I'm going to have a life of freedom and wholeness. I'm going to be ever growing in freedom and wholeness. I'm going to find people that are walking in freedom and wholeness, and I'm going to imitate some stuff. I'm going to figure out how they did it. I'm going to ask them, so how did you beat smoking then? How'd you quit chewing? How'd you break off porn, man? How'd you do that? How'd you quit drinking? Really? You never get drunk anymore? Oh, first off, pray for me. Okay, great. Now, how'd you do it? Simple as that. Oh, you used to struggle with depression? How'd you beat it? How'd you beat it? Could you tell me that? Let me see. Can I hang out with you the next time you start getting depressed and you overcome it so I can see this thing because I want it for me? And guess what? If you can walk in the victory over depression, you can be a very busy person right now. More than ever in the history of America, we have people that are suffering from chronic depression. More than ever. More than ever. And guess what? More than ever, we've got more people than ever that are addicted to prescription medicine that's supposed to overcome depression. Wait, what? I think we're chasing our tail, aren't we? We're getting worse, and we're taking more, and we're getting worse. Okay, let's keep this simple. What did Jesus say? Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life to wholeness and freedom. Okay, so how does Jesus say to do it? Right? It's simple. It's awesome. It's wonderful. It's powerful. I want to encourage you guys. Find someone that has the things in their life that you want more of. That's how you find someone that you want to disciple you. Guess thought it was rapture for a second, didn't you? But if you suffer from depression, then find someone that has great joy, a Christian that has great joy. Ask them, what's your secret? How do you do this thing? If you want to quit smoking, find a Christian that doesn't smoke anymore. How'd you break this thing? If you suffer from alcohol or you fill in the blank, because as we were talking earlier before church, the theological term is all of us got stuff, right? But we can overcome that stuff. I'm not as good as I'm going to be 5 years from now. I'm not as free and whole as I'm going to be 5 years from now. But I'm not the guy I was 5 years ago either. And so I want to encourage you guys with that. The way, the truth, and life is Jesus Christ, and we can do this. So here we come. We're going to come up, tie all this stuff up. I'm going to somehow tie all these books with Avengers Endgame. Somehow those are all going to fit together. So If you've got your Bible in front of you, let's go to our closing passage, which is going to be Revelation chapter 20. If you're still at 1 John, you're just a couple pages away. Book of Revelation. It's the last book in the Bible. Chapter 20 is almost the end of the book of Revelation. Chapter 22 is the end of the Bible. Do you know a fun fact? You guys know I'm a numbers guy. There's 1,189 chapters in the Bible. Almost 1,200 chapters in the Bible. This is two from the end. So God is getting ready to wrap all this thing up. We're getting really close to the end in this passage that we read. Before we get there, I just want to highlight a couple things. Paul says in Hebrews 9:27, he says, "It's appointed for men to die once, and after this, the judgment." I think we all know that, right? That's about as simple as it can get. We all know we're going to die, and we all know we're going to get judged. This is what Daniel says about it in Daniel chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. Daniel says, in a vision, he says, "I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, and its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him, and 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened." So Daniel paints this picture of God Almighty sitting on the throne in heaven. He paints this picture of 1,000 times 1,000 and 10,000 times 10,000 is like a symbolism of countless. So if you could just kind of like through your mind's eye picture the glory of heaven, streets that are gold, gates that are made of a solid pearl, 12 different levels of jewels, angels, seraphim, and cherubim flying around, all the glory of God bouncing off of them, and God is seated, the Ancient of Days is seated on the throne. And it's like, I picture him as he's standing, and all the stuff's going on, and then he sits, and all the courts, everybody's, and it's silent, and it's still. And then it says, "And the books were opened." That's where all these things come in. All these different books are opened. Wow. Wow. Okay. So. Okay. All these books are open. That's where Daniel finishes up. Revelation 20. You still there? Verse 11. We're coming really close to the close now. This is our last passage for the day, and I'm just going to tie it all together. Revelation 20, verse 11. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open." That's where we left off with Daniel. "And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." The Greek, a more literal translation of the Greek that this was originally written in, would say, instead of "and anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire," the Greek would say, "if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, and I assume there were such, he was thrown into the lake of fire." Wow. So, it says, did you notice that the truth of the Bible is a little bit different, again, than what Hollywood and what some of the other people are saying nowadays? Because it seems they would say that the Bible says that the people that aren't in the Lamb's Book of Life, that their works were judged. But that's not what it says. It says everybody lines up in front of God, and he gets out the books, which have all of our works in them, including us, you and me, who are born again, loving God. We go to church. We're good people, doing good stuff. Even our works are in these books.
M-E-M-A-S-M-A-S-O-N, Mason Smith, Mason Jones,
Mason McPherson. Do you see what he put in here about you? Oh, my goodness. If you guys don't know, Mason's my grandson, so that's why I'm picking on him a little bit. My grandson, who's about 4 inches taller than me, he can take it, trust me. He's going to turn to our page, or our pages. I mean, I sure don't want my page to look like this. Pastor Mike's good works. It looks blank. It is blank. Wouldn't that be horrible? You get up there and our works are listed out and he's like, Mike Young from South Dakota? No. Mike Young from Hawaii? No. Mike Young from Granville? No, there's nothing here, man. Because here's the thing. I know I'm in this book. I really believe I've got some things in one or two of these books. I do have some stuff in there. I'm confident of it. And guess what? I'm going to work at it today. I'm going to get something else put in there. And this week I might get a couple things put in that book of good works that I'm going to do for other people. You can count on it, right? I think all of us are going to do that. But this here's the book. This is the important one. It's one tiny book compared to all of these books with the good, bad, and the ugly. This is just a list of names right here. Wow. This, if anyone's name's not written in this book, they are cast into the lake of fire. Wow. Oren. I knew Oren was in here. He'd been in here for a long time. Mary. Mm-hmm. Sure enough. Paul and Cindy. Yep. Yep. Sue and Brian. Yep. I knew it. Oh, Mike Young. Ha! Told you about Grace, didn't I? It's true. I'm in here. Rob Young. No, I don't see Rob Young. Rob is my brother's name, by the way. He's not in here. How about my cousin? Oh, man. He's not in here either. That's pretty serious. Well, I'm in here. That's good, but wow, there's some names missing. Now, I asked you earlier about if you guys seen Infinity War and Endgame. I think most of us have seen those or at least heard of them. It's all about the superheroes and all this other stuff. It's like a 10-year saga wrapped up in these last two movies. So just to fast forward to the end to try to give you this illustration. The end of the one three-hour movie and the beginning of the next three-hour movie is what I'm talking about. And in this, they basically, the first movie, they're chasing this bad guy to prevent him from killing half of every living creature. And like 2 minutes before the end of the movie, they fail. And so after 10 years, if you're like me and you've seen lots of these superhero movies, and no matter how bad it is, you know at the end of the movie they're going to win, they're going to succeed, and then they'll come out with another movie for you to watch. And in this movie, 2 minutes before it, they fail. And the bad guy snaps his fingers, and half of every living creature in the whole galaxy dies. And it shows them dying, and some of them are our heroes, so to speak, you know, characters that we've watched for 10 years, and they just kind of like turn into ash right before the screen, and then they blow away in the wind. And so then the last minute of the movie, they're showing the rest of the stars that lived, and they're showing how shell-struck they are, how shocked they are, because they failed, and now their loved ones have died, and they're gone. And they're just like, and so here are these superheroes, Thor and a couple of other ones, and they're ravaged because their loved ones have died in this gruesome way. Oh, by the way, there's helicopters where people have died and are gone, are crashing into buildings, and cars are crashed because half the people are gone. Sounds a little bit like Rapture. I think they got the things twisted a little bit, but it sounds a little bit like that. That's where the movie ends. Then the next movie comes out, I don't know, a year and a half or 2 years later, and it comes out, and they spend like a good 45 minutes of the beginning of this movie showing how trashed these people are because the loved ones that they've lost. Right? If you've seen the movie, that's what the whole focus of it is. They're like ruined because these people that they love are gone, are dead, and there's nothing they can do about it. It's like their names weren't in the book. Then the rest of the movie, they, you know, obviously it's Hollywood, and they come up with how they can go back in time and blah, blah, blah. But nobody's ever going to go back in time. There's no do-overs. There's no time stones. There's none of that junk. We will all die and stand before the throne of God. And all of us, like I say, I look through here, I'm pretty confident we're all born-again Christians. That's awesome. But just think about it. If this was the Lamb's, the real Lamb's Book of Life, we looked in here, I handed you this book, and you could look up some names. Are there any names that you think might not be in here? Would your mom and dad's name be in here? Would your son and daughter's name be in here? Would your brother and sister be in here? I have a brother I'm not sure of. I have a sister that I'm not sure of. My sister, Diane, I'm positive of. Her name would be in there. If mine's in there, hers is in there, because they're counting on the same thing. But I got a couple of the siblings I'm not quite positive about. I got one brother that literally died at an Ozzy Osbourne concert. If he's in heaven, I will be flabbergasted. I'll be pleasantly surprised, but I'll be shocked. I've got cousins right now that I don't think their names are in here. My parents have already passed on. My daughter's name's in here. My grandson's name's in here. How about you guys? Anybody that you're worried their name might not be in here? That when the dust settles, literally when the dust settles, their name won't be in here. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that's so true. That's what we're banking on it, right? He is my way. He is my truth. But it's more than just that. I want to tell other people about him. And I want to see what I can do. The best I can do. While I'm adding stuff here, you know, good works, while I'm doing stuff for things, while I do that, my goal is to add names to this book. That is in my control. That much I can do. For sure I can do stuff this week that'll bless people. For sure, and that'll get put in those books. This is up to these people and God. That much I'll do. This stuff I'm going to pray about. Amen? So let me just wrap this all up. As I was talking today, various times talking about the rapture, the end times, people getting turned into dust, names in the Lamb Book of Life, don't say anything out loud. But did a name or two come to you that you know for sure you need to talk to them? Did a person, did the Holy Spirit remind you of a person that you need to just go, you know what, I need to take them out for coffee. I need to stop by their house. I need to find a way, Lord, to talk to them just to make sure their name's in here. And if it's not, I need to start a strategy to help you write their name in your book, Lord. Is there anybody? I'll bet the Holy Spirit spoke to each one of us today, at least one or two. Don't worry about 12 names. Let's concentrate on one or two names that we can start praying for them. We can start loving them. We can start doing good works in their lives. And God can open up their heart, open up their eyes to come to him, get their name wrote in that book. Amen? I'm going to close by having the sound guys play a song. It's a Jeremy Camp song. You probably have heard it on the radio many times. But for me, it just kind of wraps all this stuff together, for me personally, because this song really, I can identify with it. This is who I was before I met the Lord. But I think that this is also the people who aren't in here yet. This is also their song. This used to be my song, but it's still their song. So if you could play that song for me, please. Thank you.
found the key to all of my chains. To all that I was, now I'm not a slave.
Thank you, Matt. Logan, would you like to come up and just share what you just told me?
So I'm going to try to do this without getting emotional on you real quick. So when Pastor Mike had said and brought up earlier that somebody was in here just the past week not feeling too hot about themselves and not very comfortable in their own skin, I'm going to sit down. Really struck home for me because I was in the same boat. When I was growing up, both my parents were, long story short, both my parents were not very good parents. My mother so, more so. But that book right there on his podium, I guarantee there's one name that's not in there. And that's Sonia McCormick. She's an alcoholic, a smoker, and a lot of other things I just don't want to call her just because she's my mom. So growing up, a lot of bullying in school, a lot of mistreatment by my brother or my little sister, and more so from my mother. She was neglectful, verbally abusive, and sometimes physically, but not so just because we were getting in trouble. And all that stacked on top of it, just over time, depression and all that, I was going to pull the trigger on my own life and take it. I mean, I was inches to my temple. Then out of nowhere, and I wasn't a Christian. I was not a believer. I didn't believe in God. My dad was Catholic, but he never pushed it on us. And before I met my wife, I didn't know where I was going. But something that day in the back of my head said, there's bigger plans in the future for you. So don't do it. It's not worth it. Trust me, I got plans for you, man. And they're huge. It's not your life to take. God was watching over me, and I didn't even know it. I put it down and walked away. And then from there, I turned into a man that I told my mother told me I wasn't going to be. It was always, be like your brother, be like your sister, play sports, do this, do that. Before I met Pastor Mike, I never thought I was going to tell anybody this. This was a story I kept between me and myself. And the only other person that knew about this was my wife and my best friend. After Pastor Mike said this is a great testimony for people who happen to be in that situation just this past week, it's not worth it, man. there's so much stuff out there that you can do. There's so many things you can become. Don't let other people define you. Fill that book. You're going to be in that book. Not lying, man. Thank you.
Awesome. Good job, Logan. Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for that testimony that Logan just shared. Lord, I know that there's so many of us here that could fill books with testimonies of your love and your power and your grace to each one of us. And so, Lord, as we leave here today, I just pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we can walk in joy and wholeness and salvation, your idea of wholeness and salvation, not what we might understand or what someone has taught us, but literally the salvation that Jesus said he brought, that each one of us can have by faith, by grace, by your mercy. Would you fill us to overflowing so that we can be true trophies of your grace, walking in freedom and wholeness? Would you please do that, Lord? Touch your people, every son and daughter that's in this place today. Fill them up to overflowing, Lord, and help us to help you put our loved ones' names in that book. Would you help us to do that, Lord? In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Tonight's